Good morning. We're going to continue our series on God's care, specifically focusing on the resilience we can have to bounce back from tough situations and the determination we have to have to be able to be resilient and enjoy God's care. We're going to start here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, continuing what we've done the last few sessions, talking about Samuel and his birth and his upbringing. So, and it came to pass, in 1 Samuel 8:1, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. That's a city way down in the south of Israel. Dan is the farthest north neighborhood, and Beersheba is the farthest south. So they were judges down in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, that's dishonest gain, and took bribes, more dishonest gain, and perverted judgment. So Samuel had the same challenge that Eli had. Eli had sons that would not walk with God. They took advantage of God's people and took advantage of their position as sons of Eli. Samuel had the same challenge. And what we see here is that people have freedom of will. And many times those people that should stand by you the most, like your own family or Jesus Christ's apostles, like Judas and Peter and Thomas, or Moses with all the children of Israel turning against him and wanting to stone him, or Paul with those who became Christians but wanted to force him to still teach Old Testament law, so many times those who should be supporting you just don't. And one can get very discouraged, and one can complain and whine about it, or one can simply realize this is the way things are, this is the way the devil tricks people, and that's just life. So we trust God, and God comes through for us anyway. Now Eli actually quit walking with God, and which was unfortunate, and his sons were even worse. Now Samuel, we're going to see here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, although his sons don't walk with God, it doesn't stop him from walking with God. He continues to serve God. His sons just have to basically be fired from their position as judges. But it doesn't stop Samuel. And that's the example we want to follow. We don't want to follow the example of Eli, that because his sons and some others turned away from God, he also, to some extent, turned away from God. And that's not, I don't know if it's because of his sons, but his sons turned away from God, and he did too, to a large extent. Whereas not Samuel. Samuel just kept walking with God, regardless of what his sons did. But that's the decision each of us has. We have the decision whether we want to be determined to be resilient and enjoy the benefits of God's care, or whether we want to follow the examples of everybody else and just sort of give up on things. Well, I think we're all determined to stay with God, which is why we're here on the phone today. So in 1 Samuel chapter 8, let me start again, verse 1, then I'll read through. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. See, all the other nations around Israel had a king. But what God had done instead was set up judges who were basically men or women who walked with God, had the Spirit of God, listened to God, and did what he said. And we've read this in the book of Judges. Maybe we'll go through the whole book of Judges someday. But it's a real roller coaster because some kings or some judges really walked with God and listened to God and served God's people. But then once things got better, the children of Israel would usually turn away from what the judge said, turn away from the true God, worship false gods. They'd be taken over by, you know, foreign enemies and basically become subservient to them. Then when things got bad enough, they'd cry to God for help, and God would raise up another judge. And it worked. It worked because when those judges walked with God and the people listened to them, they were very well taken care of. But the elders of Israel got tired of that system, partly because Samuel's sons were not walking with God and were very evil, so they decided this judge thing isn't working. Of course, what would have been best was if they trusted God, and God just called somebody else to be the next judge after Samuel, but the elders didn't want that. They wanted a king. They wanted to be like everybody else. So let's see what God says about that request. Verse 5 again, "These elders said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us, because he knew God should be their king, and the judges should simply, in a sense, be mouthpieces for God. So and Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Verse 7, and this is what the Lord said. "The Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken, listen unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken, listen unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." Because you see, God realized they had freedom of will, and if they wanted a king, they were going to get one. So God just said, get them a king, but tell them what'll happen. And then as we'll see as we go through this, God chooses the king and sets certain boundaries for him. But people still have the freedom of will. God cannot and will not try to stop that. And you'll find this in people's lives. God has something he'd like them to do, but if they're not willing to do that, he sort of has, okay, this is the next best thing. Dr. Wuerl used to call it the first, second, third will of God. He never actually documented it, but he talked about it now and then. And I think that's what we have here. The first will of God would have been for them to have another judge to follow on after Samuel, who would walk with God, and they would listen to that judge, and they'd prosper. But they weren't willing to do that, so God said, okay, we'll go to plan B. Plan B is you can have a king, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, then I'm going to choose the king. And that's what we're going into here now. Verse 10, "And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear, or to plow his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, to be cooks, and to be bakers. He will take your fields, your vineyards, your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give them to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your servants and your maidservants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." And it's interesting because once Israel made the choice to switch from having a judge that God appointed to having kings, they never went back until very recent times. Even though they might have cried to God and said, take our king away, we don't like him, they couldn't. So God was saying, once you cross this threshold and get a king, you'll always have one. Because, of course, it started with the line of Saul. Saul walked away from God, so God called David. The line of David continued on a united Israel until his son Solomon died. Then after his son Solomon died, it split into two kingdoms with two kings, king of Israel in the north in Samaria and the king of Judah in the south in Jerusalem. And let me see, they continued on until the Assyrian king came in. Then the Babylonian king came in, and they were in control probably until about the time of Alexander the Great being their king, and then the Roman emperors came in, and then after the Roman emperors, you had the Byzantine emperors, and after that, you had some of the crusaders, like Baldwin, king of Jerusalem there. And then the crusaders were followed by more of the Muslim leaders and their caliphs, finally taken over by the Ottoman Turks, and they stayed in control until General Allenby crossed the bridge in World War I and and won it back. So from that day until about 1920, they had a king. So God was right when he said, if you ask for a king, you're going to have a king. Well, they had a king. So let's read that again. Verse 18, and you shall cry out on that day because of your king, which he shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now these people were determined to walk away from God and ignore him. Samuel was determined to stand with God and speak the word of God, which he did, even though he was about the only one in the big crowd that wanted to hear what God said. He listened to what God said and spoke it. Nevertheless, verse 19, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. Verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Of course, these are the kings that, when the Israelites walked with God, were always defeated. They only defeated Israel when the Israelites wouldn't walk with God. Verse 21, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken, listen unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his own city. I hear you, go home. And then there's this big record in chapter 9. You may recall where God chooses Saul. He's the tallest man in Israel, stands head and shoulder above everybody, and God chooses him. And then chapter 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, upon Saul's head, and kissed him, and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee, Saul, to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. They will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee there three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, that's not children, that's young goats, or young goats, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets, coming down from the high place with a psaltery, and a tablet, and a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee, to offer burnt offerings, and offer sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, because he had got the Spirit of God. God doesn't control people, but when you have the Spirit of God and God works within you, it's like you have another heart. Now, we're born again. We have that Spirit born within, so God's not going to give us more Spirit. But what we have to do is simply focus on God and His Word and on operating His power. And then when we do that, we're like different people. Because now, instead of being totally controlled and consumed with the things of this world, we're focusing on the things of God, on operating the power of God, and it's like we have another heart, because we're just totally different people. So that's why it's so important for those of us that are born again to simply do as we're doing today. Focus on the things of God, pray and expect God's blessings, and operate his power to the greatest extent we can. At any rate, let's read verse 9 again. It was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day, just like God said they would. And when they came thither, verse 10, when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. That's the place where they offered sacrifices to God. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the manner of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. He just told him part of the truth. And part of the truth was simply that the asses were found. Now, verse 17. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all the kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. Verse 20. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken. And Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. I'm not sure what the stuff was. Maybe it was all the gear they carried, their camping gear or their stuff, or their tents. But he was there among the stuff. Verse 23, and they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Actually, may the king live, but God save the king was the British thing, and this British way of saying it. And then this translation was sponsored by King James, so they put in the more British version instead of long live the king, God save the king. Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel set all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. So it started out with people who had listened to God and loved God, and either had the Spirit of God or at least were trusting God. But then verse 27, the children of Belial, those guys who worship the devil, said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. So that's always going to happen. God's going to tell you something to do. You're going to do it. There'll be those people that'll be right with you. And there'll be those people that will mock and make fun of you. Reminds me of when Paul was on Mars Hill in Athens. He spoke the word of God very boldly, and some mocked. Some said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. But then certain people believed. And that's the way it's always going to be. Can't worry about those that don't believe. Can't worry about those that don't walk with God. Just focus on those who do want to believe God and do what you can for them. So, Israel wanted a king. Samuel presented Saul as the new king to Israel, because Samuel was determined to do what God told him, and now they have a new king. Very interesting stuff. Now let's go to, but wasn't that interesting in chapter 12 about how God gave, God gave Samuel a new heart. Simply putting the Spirit of God in him where he could listen to God just totally changed his life. And as long as he did walk with God, he was a wonderful king. But then he, like everybody, had his times when he turned away from God and things were tough. Okay. Let me see. That was actually chapter 10. Now we're going to read chapter 12. Here we'll go into chapter 12. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened, I have listened unto your voice, and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. Behold, my sons are with you, and I walk before you from my childhood, unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it. They said, Thou hast not defrauded us, verse 4, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught or anything of any man's hand. And he said unto them, verse 5, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught or anything in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It's the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. So, the children of Israel turned away from God, but then when they got in a mess, they needed a little resilience to come back. So they were determined to ask God for help. And they asked God for help, and in his great care, he sent another judge. So verse 10 again, they cried unto the Lord and said, We've sinned because we've forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtoreth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies and we will serve thee. And the Lord set Jerubbabel, that's Gideon, and Badon, and Jephthah, and Samuel, all judges of Israel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when you saw that Naash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen, and the Lord, and behold the king you have chosen, and whom you have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against his commandment, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. So he's given them the choice. If they're determined to be resilient by enjoying God's care, they will. If they're not, they'll just float along with all the unbelievers in the neighboring nations and just have problems. So verse 15, But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Verse 16, Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. It hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear, reverence the Lord, and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. So Samuel was very determined to deliver the word of the Lord to them. And now we have to see if the people are determined to walk with God. And they're up and down all the time. Sometimes they're determined to walk with God. Sometimes they're determined to walk away from God. But when they did well, they were determined to walk with God. He helped them be resilient. And because of his great care, he brought them deliverance. Well, let's wrap up with one section in Ephesians chapter 1. But you saw there where God said, I won't forsake you because of my namesake. I'll stay with you. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. We see here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you. God's divine favor be to you. And peace. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings because of the new birth. You couldn't be any more blessed. Our challenge is to be determined to enjoy those, use those, know that we have all spiritual blessings. And just like God gave Saul a new heart, he's given us the new birth and all spiritual blessings. We simply have to enjoy them. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's the way we live. We may think we goof up, and we often do. We may think we fall short, and we often do. But in God's eyes, we're holy and we're without blame before him in love. So think of yourself this way as you go through your week. Don't think of all of your shortcomings and the shortcomings of everybody else around you. Think of the fact that you are holy and without blame before God in love because of his great grace, mercy, and peace, and because of the wonderful sacrifices Jesus Christ made to be our Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great learning we can have from your scriptures. I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you for the wonderful work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may we continue to look to you and continue to trust you and continue to see your blessings in our life every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.